found insane of a dangerous crime is more likely to commit a new crime. I started analyzing that when the bill first came out. We ran off all the specially designated offenders through our computer system, tried to look at what had happened to them, and tried to get some statistical comparison to the non-specially designated offenders. It looked as if there wasn't a major distinction, but in terms of their future dangerousness. But I can't tell you that for sure. However, what Representative Courtney says, I think as a policy matter, makes a lot of sense, and that is, as a policy, the legislature has already said certain kinds of crimes are considered worse, are considered more dangerous, if you will, are considered more heinous, and they are going to be dealt with more severely, whether or not there's a greater likelihood of danger in the future. So if you're going to designate crimes, I think it probably makes most sense to designate the most serious crimes designated by the legislature elsewhere. That doesn't necessarily mean you will in fact be catching the most dangerous people. But I don't know how to do that, except to, of course, that's what the board tries to do in its day-to-day decisions, is catch the most dangerous people regardless of the crime and deal with them differently. So there's a mechanism for already trying to do that, and that is the board's discretion. But if you're going to overlay some kind of framework you get by the constitutional issues, which I think are real, then what Representative Courtney says makes a lot of sense to me. There's already an existing system. Why not use it?
Representative Courtney, your reference then to the offenses to be included would it be those that are embraced within sub 1 of Section 3, murder as defined in 163.115, or any aggravated form thereof?
Yep.
Or an attempt to commit any such offense?
Yeah.
Well, 163.115 was the basic. Mm-hmm. 163.095 is the definition of aggravated murder. Means murder as defined in 163.115, which is committed under or accompanied by any of the following circumstances. You have the contract murder, the repeat murder, more than one murder victim in the same episode. Murder occurring as a result of maiming or intentional maiming or torturing. Then a characterization of victims. Murder while incarcerated. Explosive. So.
Chairman,
is that your
yes.
Is that your motion?
Yes.
Just for aggravated murder?
It's murder. Well, is it only aggravated murder, or is it murder and aggravated murder, including aggravated murder?
Well, I'll be very frank, it was aggravated murder. That was the intention. Not, you know, I realize there's other types of murders, but it's, you know, it was, since the whole thing that brought us to this issue was the celebrated case. Back ground zero. You know, I realize there's murder and there's murder, but it's the aggravated murder that's really the situation that we're dealing with. Because as we've heard from Felicia, you hear from many corrections, many people commit murder and never commit murder again, regardless, you know what I mean. But the aggravated murder, that's something else again. And so that was the intention. If you want to broaden it, that's one thing, but I'll be very frank with you, good faith, it's the aggravated murder situation.
Representative Courtney moves that the purpose of defining specially designated offense, as it will ultimately relate here to the issue of an relate here to the retention of jurisdiction by the board, especially designated offense will mean aggravated murder as defined in et cetera, or an attempt to commit such offense. Is that right? Where did these others come from?
Well, I don't know. Want to help me on that?
They're in the interim draft, but well, how were they generated?
My memory of how they were generated is that the request was to select out what seemed to be the most heinous of the offenses. And so those were the ones that were settled on or accepted by the group.
Discussion of the motion.
If I might just point out, I don't know if it makes any difference or not, but in our statistics on murder, we don't even make a distinction between aggravated or not.
Your statistics.
But that's just a matter of record keeping.
Yeah.
From the board's perspective.
I presume the papers surrounding the disposition of the offense are going to charge the, it's going to be clear when a case, I assume it's going to be clear from the record leading up to the onset of the board's jurisdiction whether or not a particular offense is aggravated murder as tried.
Although I haven't asked the board directly this policy issue, I would imagine they'd have no problem with having all murdered, but I don't know where you stop, and I think that's the problem the interim committee had. They started with murder, and then everybody has their pet crime that they added, and that's why the list is so broad.
Now, wait a minute. We didn't all have our pet crime. That's not how that happened.
I mean, I don't know whose pet crime was
sodomy.
Arson in the first degree. I don't know anybody having that as a pet.
We have a lot of them.
That's right, you do. I've noticed you got a lot of fire burners out there.
Yeah, we do.
Real flamethrowers, I tell you. Burn up.
Dragons. Early discussion of the motion.
Yes, Mr.
Representative Hill.
Mr. Chairman, I agree with the aggravated murder, but I have to say the sexual offenses in the first degree, to me, I would like to have that in. I don't. Going down this list,
sodomy.
Rape in the first degree.
Sodomy.
Sodomy in the first degree.
Sexual penetration of the foreign object.
Yes.
Sexual abuse in the first degree.
Yeah. We're talking about the celebrated crime.
So, Courtney, do you wish to accept that as an
amendment? I do.
You place your motion? Do you want to include that in your motion? So, Courtney moves that the specially designated offenses include aggravated murder as defined in the appropriate section, any felony sexual offense in the first degree defined in ORS Chapter 163, or an attempt to commit any such offense. Question. Mr. Lombard.
Yeah, what we're talking about here is saying that the jurisdiction of the PSRB shall continue regardless of the determination of the condition of the individual for the term of the minimum sentence or the sentence imposed by the court or there could be. Let me ask you this, because mechanically in a situation like this, at least as of this date, doesn't the court make a finding, the jury make a finding of not responsible due to mental disease or defect? It never, does it ever get to the point then of rendering any kind of a sentence other than commitment to the PSRB?
Yes, the court has to make the determination on the record the offense the person would have been convicted had the person been found responsible, and then we get jurisdiction for the maximum period of time of that sentence.
What he's saying is the court doesn't specify a period of time during which your jurisdiction extends,
yes,
though.
It does. In almost all cases, and if they don't, we look up the crime and say whether
I'm sorry.
Just when you take
the maximum.
Maximum.
The court doesn't set a, designate a time of jurisdiction within that indeterminate range.
Right. The maximum for aggravated murder is life. Mm-hmm. We're saying that your jurisdiction, the maximum, the mandatory minimum is 30 and 20. The maximum is life. Are we saying by this amendment that your intent that the jurisdiction last for life, or in the case of aggravated murder for the mandatory minimum?
Minimum.
Right. In the case of.
That's right. I don't understand. That's exactly right.
I understand
confused
that.
By your statement on life.
Well, because when you turn around and take Representative Hill's amendment, which I agree with, there, my question, I guess, is does the court, when it tells you, you know, when it convict or when it sentences the individual to your custody, if it doesn't say anything, you have a Class A felony, 20 years, that's a max. Not a minimum, as contrasted with the aggravated murder. So I just think semantically we have to distinguish that in that case, what we're saying is 20 years is the time of jurisdiction on those Class A felonies. Aggravated murder, we're saying 30 and 20, which are in fact minimums. It's just a matter of language. Because your max on the murder is life.
Well, before we settle this element, I think it would be appropriate to just take 60 seconds and move ahead here to identify what the prospective elements of the rest of this policy are going to look like. We're going to define certain specially designated offenses. We're going to say that the board, we're not going to preclude the board from conditionally discharging, releasing as to any of those offenses. We are going to say, however, that even when a person under your jurisdiction because of one of these offenses can make out the conditions which would otherwise entitle that person to discharge, the board, here's the question, is it the board shall retain jurisdiction of that person for the maximum period we're talking about, or that the board may retain beyond that point jurisdiction up to this maximum period?
Are you asking what the recommendation would be?
Yes.
I haven't talked to the board, but I suppose we'd prefer may, and maybe that would take care of, maybe that would help with some of the constitutional problems.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I do like the may, because that might take care of the person that the testimony is that they might still have a mental illness, but if they do, if it's a close question, it's certainly in remission. And then the board could make the decision that since it's in remission and we can retain jurisdiction, then maybe we'll retain it for life for that person, as opposed to shall, where they would have to, even if the testimony was absolutely they no longer have any mental illness.
And I guess the other element of our policy stance here would be that we would not provide
that upon discharge, the jurisdiction of the board would in effect be succeeded by commitment to the corrections division.
Yes.
We would not.
Correct.
Impose that provision.
I think what you would want to do is amend 161351, which is the discharge of persons under the board's jurisdiction. And then just amend it by adding language. That those persons shall be discharged as such time, and then just put except for persons placed under the board jurisdiction for, and then define what the crimes are. Or add a subsection, whatever, but.
Well, let's see if we can, if there's no objection, let's see if we can incorporate in a single motion all of the elements conceptually of this policy. But is that agreeable with you, Representative Courtney? Can I do that?
Sure.
Okay, so we have the first element of the identification of the offenses which would be subject to the policy. Murder, or excuse me, aggravated murder, felony sexual offenses in the first degree, or any attempt to commit any such offenses. That's element one. Element two is that would be to empower the board in the case of jurisdiction over persons involving such offenses, empower the board to retain jurisdiction beyond the time one satisfies the test that would otherwise trigger discharge. Now, you're not presently restrained from conditionally discharging persons who have committed such offenses, are you? So we don't need to,
if
the extent the bill prohibit, we're staying status quo on that.
That's correct. If you leave the system the way it is, the only thing you would need to add is define the crimes and then allow the board to say the board may retain jurisdiction for the maximum time.
Is that motion clear, everybody?
No, Mr. Winters, may retain, I'm sorry.
The policy there would, Representative Hill, would be that rather than saying that in the case of these offenses, in every situation, even when the individual has established that he or she is, what is the test?
No
free
longer
of mental, no longer
affected, or if so affected, no longer presents a substantial danger to others.
And the board would have discretion there?
The board would be empowered at its discretion to retain jurisdiction, even though those tests were then apparently satisfied, as opposed to, well, one, discharging, or alternatively, in terms of the new policy, mandating that in every case they retain jurisdiction for the maximum period.
All right, Mr. Chairman, the trouble that I have with that is, see, your science is not exact, and no one knows when these people are cured. That's the whole problem with this whole thing. And if you're certain enough to know when that's done, I guess I question whether you can do that.
Well, I can just respond by saying that the board has to do that now. That's what the law is now, that we have to discharge people if the board finds by preponderance that they're no longer affected.
Yes, but we're carving out something
right
here that's different because of the heinousness of the offenses. And I guess I wonder how you can be selective as to which ones are professionally, whether you can make that determination. My whole basis of supporting Representative Courtney's suggestion here, his proposed amendments, is because given the seriousness of these crimes, and given the fact that you cannot be sure that these people won't commit them again, that regardless of anything, that those people, if they commit that crime, regardless of what determination you might make, that they will stay under the jurisdiction. Now, if you feel certain enough that you can say that people who commit these crimes are going to be safe, I would like to hear that. But
the problem you get into is, the constitutional problem, that if you have somebody that's been under the jurisdiction for 10 years for a sex offense, and they would already have been out of the correction system since that time, and all of the testimony is either that they're no longer affected, or even if they are affected, they're no longer dangerous, which they're cured, that they, all the other people should be discharged, how long do you retain jurisdiction? It's going to be appealed. I'm sure when we get that case, it's going to be appealed. There's no question of that. So I think by putting in the two factors that you're only putting in the most aggravated crimes and you're not making it absolute might help it constitutionally, but I'm not certain of that either.
Well, I guess that it's like we're, Representative Courtney said earlier, we looked at a bill to require people to register and so forth. I guess I'm simply not as afraid of a constitutional challenge if you're weighing the safety of the community against it. And I guess I'd like to hear from Representative Courtney, being his amendment, how does he feel about this exception?
Well, I want shall, but I'll take may if that's the only way I can get anything.
Well, I definitely like to try shall first.
I definitely agree. I don't know. Another thing is, I assume, Mr. Chair, what you plan to do is the votes are here to move it to full committee, because you said you still want to reserve, for example, in your own judgment as to the guilty, except insane type of issue. You know what I mean? I don't know what to do with your constitutional arguments at this stage of the game as we talk here. I don't know what to do about that.
I see it as
a, this is very, this issue is also very much a part of the public, what brought us to the, in fact, there was testimony. What amazes me is there was testimony for the task force that the board felt, or that some of these people that were being discharged, they felt was still dangerous, which I found interesting. They were dangerous, although they had to say they felt the disease or defect was taken care of, but they felt, still felt they were dangerous. And yet they were under, they had no other alternative but to discharge them. That really alarmed me. Now, maybe it's a tiny segment of people, one or two, but then if that individual goes out and does something horrible again, or let's say horrible the first time, then, you know, we're back in the same ballgame we're in right now.
Representative Courtney, if I might, I think that might have been cured some by the changes you made already by taking out the personality disorders, because I think that's probably where the problem is, where you get someone in that is basically a sociopathic personality that's going to disobey the laws no matter what you do with them as soon as they get, as soon as they're out without the restrictions. I think you may have cured a lot of that concern by making that amendment. The other comment I can make is that you're never going to have absolutes.
Well, I understand that. I mean, I understand that.
Well, Representative Courtney, I wasn't trying to preempt your own judgments to how you wanted the issue put to the committee.
Well,
you wish to put it as shall.
Right. See what happens.
See what happens. We have all the elements stated now. It's really the two, I guess. It's the designation of the designated offenses and the, in this particular motion, the mandate to retain jurisdiction for those offenses. For the discussion of the motion, call the roll.
Courtney?
Yes.
Hill?
Aye.
Lombard?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Springer?
No.
Myers?
No. Okay, that's adopted. Now,
terms.
Hmm?
So we need to be sure we know what we're talking about in terms of what that time period is.
I assumed it was the max.
Well,
and the 30 and 20 on the aggregate.
That was my understanding.
20 years on the Class A's and 30 and 20 on the aggravated.
That's the max.
All clear?
What about murder, regular old murder?
It's not in.
It's not in there.
It's just aggravated murder.
And there are two classes of aggravated murder. Okay. 30 and the 20 maximum for aggravated murder.
So we would have, just to compare, we, in an aggravated murder case, we'd either have a max of 30 or 20, and in the, in an A felony sexual offense, we'd have a max 20, right? Okay.
We get the jurisdiction for the maximum, which would be life. Isn't that correct?
That was my point.
Yeah, so you'd need to make a change. The present law says we get the jurisdiction for the maximum.
My understanding was that in response to Representative Lombard's comment to that very point, that the motion, at least my understanding of the motion was that for the aggravated murder, we were not going for the life, we were going for the 20 and 30, and I thought Representative Courtney had kind of, yes, that's what he intended.
Right.
Is that was your intention?
Yes, it was.
Okay. Is that clear to everyone as far as the vote we took? Does that raise any problem with anybody's vote? Okay. That's included. Well, I mean, so I was only speaking to the yes, I assume it wouldn't flip any of the no's.
I think that helps even more with the constitutional problem.
Now, let's move then to the, are we ready to go to the safety net issue?
Have you finished on A? I'm assuming you're leaving the status quo and everything else then as far as the board's jurisdiction.
Yep. The ability to retain when no longer, we've already dealt with that. Safety net.
I guess my comment would be, since you're...
We resolve that?
I don't know. I don't know whether there's a problem now. I haven't really heard that being a problem now, but changing the term.
Well,
what the impact
if we is. Have... If we have... Have we subsumed that issue with the earlier actions we took in terms of rejecting certain changes in the definition, or rather in the yes? Haven't we absorbed that?
I think the motivation for suggesting a safety net was the bills which would move all of the mental disease and defect questions into mens rea, which might mean you have more not guilty people and you didn't need a safety net. I suspect it resolves it.
President Courtney?
Fine. Greg? Go on.
The disposition of misdemeanors is the next issue on my list. Linda?
That change came up because in 2075,
I believe it may have been because of other changes that were made in the board being able to conditionally release or not conditionally release. And I think it's also another issue that's been taken care of if you go back to the status quo on those issues.
The status quo now reflects a change from that was made in 1981.
Correct. You mean in terms of being a danger only to other people and the change on the misdemeanors.
Right.
Also true with the next section on the judges.
Yeah, that's good. All right.
So no change.
Then we have, at least on this list, two others, ability to use expert testimony without giving notice to the DA.
You've already made the policy decision to leave the procedural matters as they are.
Is this still an issue?
That was an issue that Dale Penn brought up, and that was one of their sort of miscellaneous kinds of changes that they were asking be made. It's sort of separate from
Dale, would you like to come up?
Well, I don't know, under the present status of things, if it any longer has any viability. That was a suggestion in both the ODAA bill and the Department of Justice bill. Because of the change where mental disease issues would be presented, if they were only going to be relevant on mens rea, there was some concern that you would be more or less ambushed without prior notice. The way the law is now, there is supposed to be notice prior to asserting the defense. You've just renamed the defense.
Yeah.
So I assume that's not really a big issue at this point.
I was having trouble seeing how it was an issue in view of our earlier actions, but I wanted to be sure.
Yeah.
Extradition of persons who leave the jurisdiction while on conditional release.
That's an amendment that I've suggested in my testimony, and I can just read it to you, an amendment to the escape statute to deal with the problem of somebody that is on conditional release but leaves the state. And it may be partly cured because you'd have the guilty plea, and I would want to make it absolutely clear that somebody that leaves the jurisdiction can then be charged.